Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Numerous times in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus speaks of the necessity of those who believe in him to take up their cross and follow him. In the book of Acts, St. Paul reminds the Ephesian Christians, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of heaven. There are really two kinds of theology. There is the theology of glory, and there is the theology of the cross. Jesus, Paul, the apostles, and Luther taught the theology of the cross. False teachers always end up teaching a form of the theology of glory. What's the difference? Well, in our modern world, the way that we can grab it most easily is this. Theology of glory says that once you put your trust in Christ, everything has to go well for you. God becomes your buddy, and because of that, he won't let anything negative take place in your life. And if anything negative does take place in your life, it's your own fault because you don't have enough faith. That's a theology of glory. Theology of glory says you can experience heaven here and now. Right? It is a way of bringing God down to earth. You know, it's that I come to the garden alone. You know, that kind of prayer understanding that every time I bow my head and close my eyes, it's like I'm in heaven. I don't know about you, but when I pray, I don't feel like I'm in heaven at all. I feel tempted to stop paying attention to everything I'm supposed to be thinking about. Prayer is a trial. It's the garden of prayer, the sweet, sweet garden of prayer. Come on. Our flesh rebels against the idea that we're talking to somebody who's invisible. All right? And therefore, prayer for most of us is hard work. It's such hard work, even for Christians who love Jesus, that almost every one of us has to admit we don't pray anywhere near as much as we know we could or should. All right? We have to admit that. All right? The person who says, oh, I'm really good at prayer, and I do it all the time, I'm like, oh yeah? That's good for you. And I wonder. I just wonder. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just wondering, you know, because prayer is tough. Right? Prayer is tough. It's hard to hold on to when everything in your life is going the way you think it shouldn't. It's hard to hold on to the promise in the Bible that God has a good purpose in it. Hang in there. And it's hard to pray, deliver me from trial and temptation when you're smack dab in the middle of it and you feel it intensely. It's hard. It's not easy. That's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying to the disciples, look, a little while and you shall not see me. It's going to get very dark soon. You're not going to believe how dark it's going to get. And then again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. So what Jesus is saying there is, you are temporarily going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But you will come out the other side and see the light again. I will be taken into custody. I will be rejected, condemned, crucified, dead, and buried. And you will feel as if the meaning of your life has been pulled out from under you like a rug. You will question everything that you ever thought was good. And it will be a dark night for your soul. But listen, that's not the end of the story. A little while again, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. You see, this is a very difficult thing for us to hang on to. That when God permits trial, trouble, tribulation, suffering, when He permits it to come into our lives, He only permits it because He has a good purpose in it and because He is working in the midst of it for our good. Hard to hold on to that. It's easy to hold on to it when things are going good and you say, yeah. But when it starts happening to you, it's a whole nother ball game. To the disciples, it seemed like everything they believed in had fallen to the ground in failure when Jesus was arrested, condemned, crucified, dead, and buried. The show was over. We were saps to believe in this kind of stuff. He was a great guy, but he obviously wasn't who we thought he was. Everything in their life stood up and said, no, you were wrong. And that happens to us when trouble comes into our life, when things don't go the way we want them to or expect them to, when setbacks happen, when sickness comes, when trouble and loss and separation come. It all says to us, no, it's not true. But the Word of God says that it is. And God is giving us the opportunity to turn away from what is actually happening to us and to believe the Word of God smack dab in the face of negation. And when we do that, we are sustained in faith until the trouble passes and the sun comes out, the light again shines, and we rejoice. Jesus says, in a few days, you will weep and lament, and the world will rejoice. They're going to celebrate because I'm dead. You will weep and lament, but they will rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Our sorrow in this life is turned into joy in three ways. Number one, when we permit the promises of the Word of God to comfort us in the midst of our afflictions, when we dare to believe that God's Word is true, when all of our experience is saying that it isn't, then we are able to rejoice, and sorrow is turned into joy when the Word of God triumphs over our doubts. The second way that the sun shines upon us and that our sorrow is turned into joy is when, as it always does in this life, our time of trial and trouble comes to an end. You know, everything passes. Time takes its toll on all of us, but nothing lasts forever except God, salvation, and those who belong to Him. So, your sorrow is turned into joy when God in His grace finally brings your trial to an end. And then your sorrow is turned into joy when you finally die and go to paradise to be with Jesus, and on the last day are raised up and receive his benediction. Enter into the joy of your Lord. All right? So, three ways in which your sorrow is turned into joy. He says, a woman, when she's in labor, she's in pain. All right? Because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, as soon as the baby is born, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. So, this is a perfect human example. Now, I know there are some women who never forget the pain of labor. All right? There are some women who never forget how painful it was. But listen, in those cases, the exception only proves the rule. Because most of the time, when a woman gives birth to a child, she goes from grimacing and crying out in distress to smiling and being at peace and rejoicing. All right? And it happens like that. All right? Jesus here says, when a woman is in labor, she has pain and sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as the child is born, she remembers no more the anguish for the joy that the baby is born. And then he says, now you therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take away from you. You know, and this is what Jesus is trying to teach us. That when Jesus went through the suffering, the rejection, and the death of the cross, it appeared as if God was gone. And it appeared as if Jesus was not what he said he was. It appeared as if God was doing nothing. Just like we feel in the midst of our troubles, when we pray and we pray and no end seems to be in sight and the trouble doesn't go away, and where is God? Where is his promise to hear our prayer and to answer our prayer? It looked as if God was doing nothing, when in fact God was doing everything. The salvation of the world, the salvation of every single soul from Adam to the last guy who shuts the lights off on the last day. The salvation, the complete salvation of every one of us is utterly dependent on the rejection, suffering, death, and burial of Jesus. God was saving the world when it looked like he was failing miserably. Now, if we can learn that lesson about the life of Christ, we can understand why sometimes the Lord permits trouble and tribulation to come into our life. He's giving us the blessed opportunity to trust his word when his word is being negated by our experience. And then, as we hang in there and come through the time of trial, in the end, we are stronger in faith and stronger in the gracious qualities that God wants to see in our lives. Just like when a parent must discipline a child for the child's good, so it is that the Lord God permits trouble to come into our life at times in order that we may exercise our faith. Because you see, it goes like this. Here is trouble. and here is your faith. Now, as long as your faith is just bouncing along, life is good, everything's fine, faith is floating on a tube with a piña colada, right? And then all of a sudden, here comes some trouble, and boom! Now what happens? Now you're either going to stay there and meet this thing head on, or you're going to fail. Right? Now, here's the deal. When you meet this thing head on, and you hang in there, praying for help, waiting patiently for the Lord to deliver you, and enduring what's happening to you while maintaining your faith in the Lord, guess what happens? In the end, the trouble goes away, and your faith is strengthened by means of the opposition that it experienced. You know what isometric exercises are. When your faith is put under pressure and you cling to the Word of God, that clinging to the Word of God causes your faith to remain, and in the end, when the problem goes away, you're stronger for it. And it's an act of the love of God. It appears to human reason as if it's the neglect of God, but it's not. It's the fatherly love of God who disciplines us that we might be stronger and better, and that our faith may grow through the experience of opposition. So today we learn a little bit about the theology of the cross from Jesus. All right? You're going to be in terrible straits for the next few days, but when I rise again from the dead, your sorrow will be turned into joy, and it will be a joy that no one can take away from you. And these men turned the world upside down with their preaching, because nobody could take their joy from them, because they knew that Christ is risen. And so it is with us. When trouble comes, it doesn't mean that God has failed. It doesn't mean that you have failed. It doesn't mean anything else but that your loving Heavenly Father is allowing you to undergo a beneficial and necessary trial of your faith, so that by clinging to the Word of God, you may endure in the midst of trouble, and when it's all over with, be the stronger for it. God is working even in the midst of our troubles. Not that we like trouble, but it's wonderful to know that God is not gone when trouble comes. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.